What's up? What's up, guys? We're back. C22 Soso Wayne Chung of the California Education 2020 podcast. This is Michael Amos in season one, episode three, our intro to the podcast. We mentioned an elderly lady that Michael checked up on to see if she was, you know, okay from COVID, and what happened.
Yeah. So good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us again on the Californication podcast. Please tell your friends and tell my Venmo. I found an old kind of professor acquaintance of mine from back in my college days, which, as I'm sure you can tell by looking at me, was only a couple years ago. Hmm. And she was around 90 in those days, and she is now 106 years old. I sent her an email yesterday. I talked about it at the beginning of the podcast. If you haven't watched episode three, no idea why I've gotten to this episode, but go back, watch episode three and two and one. Do it right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, do it right or don't do it at all.
Shout out to Power 106, too. And 106 yeah. Cameo. Go ahead.
No. I give no shout outs to them. Their morning show is garbage. Hold on. Are those your sponsors for Live the Bike?
No, but thanks. It's like 11 bets. Go ahead.
Wait, what happened?
Nothing. Just. I listen to hip hop. Power 106 Cameo. They were.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I missed out on the reference. I must have been thinking of a different station. I don't know any stations that cater in hip hop, man. That's not my people's thing. So hip hop is mostly an Asian thing. So she sent me back an email today, right? She responded very, very quickly. High five. Very, very softly, because I'm sure her bones are very brittle and I wouldn't want to break them. Mm. But she hit me back up, and it turns out, you know, one of the incidents that I sent her, I talked about in the email I sent her, was an incident many years ago where I took a beating at the hands of a very angry and very mentally ill female professor at a cocktail party. And this 90-year-old was with me at the cocktail party, and we had kind of a good laugh about that over email, and she actually sent me a 5-page memoir that she wrote back in the day, that was her memoir that she wrote like a day after this incident took place, because it was a pretty special incident. So she actually wrote it up, and she sent me the 5-page, and it actually illuminated a lot of the stuff that I didn't understand about the incident, because essentially what happened was I was gone from the party forever, and I walked back in the party and then just started getting beaten on by an older woman, and I didn't really fight back. In fact, I kind of was just like,
why'd you break up with her over text?
Yeah, it's, you don't want to break up with people when they're drinking at a cocktail party. It's really bad news. Yeah.
Oh, foreshadowing. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, and 2055, you know, what do they call those, May to December relationships? Is that what they're? When you have like a really old person, it's usually an old man, right? It's usually James Woods specifically, with, ooh, you know, increasingly younger girl.
I'm James Woods' friend. I can't hear anything. La 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 la.
Yeah, that doesn't speak well of you. But all right, so
I played cards with him. So, I don't know what do you want. I played cards with him a couple times.
Well, I mean that's the thing. James Wood he's actually very nice when he plays cards. He's a very nice person. He's very nice to everyone at the table. Many people with deplorable points of view are nice in person, but as soon as you're not a member of their group, or they consider you a member of their outgroup, you are, you know, going to face hellfire.
He's always so nice to me, and he always mentions that he went to MIT.
He does seem very impressed with his own, with his intellect. Yeah.
No, it might be a needle. It's like, 'cause I'm Asian, and then they're just like, I went to MIT, and I'm like, damn, I wish I went to MIT so my parents would love me more.
Yeah, so here's the thing. It's totally not a needle, but it makes sense that you would take it that way, right? Mm. So I completely understand why you would think it's a needle, because, you know, you think, oh, this guy must be mentioning MIT because that is, you know, one of the big schools that I didn't get into, which is not the case. He's just mentioning MIT because he's impressed by it, and he wants to tell everyone he went to MIT, even though, you know, like a bunch of people who are not very well educated, they don't even know what MIT is. Like, seriously, it doesn't have like the name value of Harvard, right? And so you tell them you went to MIT, that doesn't mean anything. They're like, that is that like DeVry Institute, right? Is that like ITT? You know, what is that? You know, you tell me you went to Caltech, right? That doesn't mean anything to them. What's Caltech? Do they have a football team? So
they have a foosball team.
It's probably very good, because I seriously doubt any of them get out of the house. And when you don't get out of the house, you get to play a lot of foosball. Right? So Yeah, Caltech kids are very smart. Very smart.
Anyway, wuzzah!
Wuzzah! You guys
Wuzzah.
remember that? Are you old enough to remember that? You must be if you watch Californication.
Yeah, hopefully, because
Yeah.
we're trying to age ourselves, and hopefully we succeeded.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys are way younger, you're just gonna think we're losers. And if you're way older, frankly, I can't imagine you finding your way to YouTube. You just don't understand computers. So I think we're probably dealing with a target audience in very similar age group.
All right, well, let's get on with season 1, episode 4, which is Fear and Loathing in at a fundraiser, I guess.
Yeah, at a fundraiser, right? Which is a takeoff on the Hunter
There.
Thompson Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which, you know, is I mean, I don't think there's anything more to say about that except that they used it for the title.
So Hank and Meredith are in bed some morning after, and Meredith says, "We need to talk." So, no?
Well,
Headshake?
it's just the last episode. Remember when she was like, "Hank, I know this isn't a serious thing," and then he was like, "No, I want to bring you to dinner," and then she's like, she was like, "You know, I could just come over," right? Like she didn't even want to go to dinner, like she didn't even want to date, and all of a sudden we're one episode later, right? And she's like, "Hank, we need to talk," and like, I mean, this is look, you know, the truth is, girls have this experience early on when guys get super attached very, very quickly, right? And they're like, "Whoa, why did this guy change?" Like, you know, things were casual, and then this guy's like super committed. It happens a little bit more slowly for guys, but we've all had this experience where a girl is like cool, she's chill, and she's like fine with how things are, and you're not trying to take things seriously. And then all of a sudden, she's like, "We need to talk," and you're just like, "You're exactly like what Hank said, right? Like, has anything good ever come of talking or whatever?" Because it, no. So yeah, that was a. That's such a bad thing when somebody says, "I think we need to talk." It's like, you know what? We don't need to talk. Just let's just move, go on our way right now. Like we don't need to hash this out over like a couple hours. Like it's just bye.
I was more thinking like instead of we need to talk, like just be like, okay, say your bit and then let's split, you know? It's
Yeah.
right? You don't even
Yeah.
need to, there's no let's talk. It's you say something and I listen.
Exactly, right? Clearly, you have something you need to get off your shoulders, off your chest. So let's hear it, and then I'll decide what I want to do with it. Motherfucker.
So she's like, they've been spending a lot of time in the bedroom, and Hank's like, well, we can do in the shower.
Yeah. Perfect answer. Absolutely. Yeah.
Then Hank's like, joking aside, we can do whatever you want. Then Meredith's like, Hank, let's go to a fundraiser. And he's like, no. And she's like, you should have got the invite for it. It's your agency. He's like, why would I know or be invited,
Yeah,
even if
well,
I
I
was?
mean, here's the thing. I'm sure he got a piece of paper in the mail or whatever that went straight into the trash can because he's not going to go to, you know,
It's
stuff like that.
don't age yourself. It's the web era. You got mail. Oh wait, that's the wrong era too.
Oh,
Is
no.
Hotmail
Yeah.
on? Is Hotmail? Okay, whatever.
None of these, I mean, when will Gmail disappear, right? I think Hank probably had a professor beat him up at a cocktail party back in the day. And now he knows, like, I'm just not going to go to these things anymore, right? Having
Or
had
it's just
that,
common sense.
Yes, I mean you could say that, but some of us aren't so bright, Wayne. You know, you grew up a lot earlier than some of the rest of us, and you understood the world. But yeah, I mean cocktail parties are awful. There's a certain kind of people that really enjoy them, and they are not my people.
So, she Meredith tells Hank it's not good to be apathetic, and then Hank puts her hand under the sheets and is like, "Does this seem like apathy to
Yeah, what do
you?"
you think was happening there? I didn't really understand that.
I think like checking the temperature, like if the thigh, like hand, her hand was led to his thigh, and if it was warm, it's like, "Look, I'm warm-hearted. That's
Yeah, I
not
think he was talking
apathy."
about having a warm heart.
Yeah.
And I
'Cause
otherwise I couldn't make any sense of I couldn't make any sense of why you
no,
would put
because if
a
he was cold, then
Yeah.
it would be a cold heart.
So it was like a clamminess check.
No, if he's cold, then he
Yeah.
has a cold heart, which
And
symbolizes apathy.
apathy.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah. So it's okay, so it's like a thigh check. Yeah, all right. Fair enough. Yeah, that's I think what's happening there. Yeah, okay. I mean, so I guess he agrees to go, right? Which is, you know.
Yeah, he does. So before that happens, Hank arrives at Bill's. And Karen's all dolled up. She's looking, fine.
Yeah. He tells her, "You look halfway decent," right? Which is, I mean, that's a kind of underhanded,
compliment.
I mean, it's not really underhanded, but it's a muted compliment that you have to give, right? Because you can't just gush. You have to,
He can,
well, you
technically.
can, but it's not good. Like for example, just a couple of hours ago, just a couple of hours ago, a girl sent me a picture of her out fishing, in a and she's in a bikini and she has like a she has like a she has a big fish, right? That she's I guess she caught the big fish, right? More likely the guy she was out with caught the big fish and had her hold it. But maybe she caught it, right? She's kind of awesome. And she got and I just, I'm not gonna respond to the bikini pic, right? I'm gonna be like, "Oh wow, you look good," right? What I said was, "You that's a Photoshop goldfish." Because like that's, I mean, that's not really an example of giving like a muted compliment, but you can't go for the gusto, right? If you tell girls, if girls are awesome and you tell them how awesome they are, you're gone, right? Like you gotta make them earn it.
So you basically just like gave it up to Liv Bory like in episode one.
Yeah, no, I had no chance with Liv Bory anyways, right? So once you give something up, it's funny because with the opposite sex, once you give them up, right? Once they like reject you, or then you can actually have like a normal human relationship with them. And I suppose guys like Hank Moody, one reason why they're awesome is they have normal human relationships with people all the time, on his own level anyways. But I really don't. Like if I like you, I'm not gonna have a normal relationship with you. I'm not gonna talk to you. I'm gonna, run away when you come into the room. It's just gonna be really awkward for you. Like sometimes I might just like go sit outside your house at like, 11 p.m. Just kind of sit there on the step. Maybe you'll notice me, maybe you wouldn't, but
Might
it's
sleep with their
just,
best friend.
well, yeah, or sleep on, sometimes maybe if I'm getting the feeling like they're not noticing me on the step, I'll go sit on the best friend step. And then, sometimes I'll like play like, a kazoo, like just like blow it like once or twice in the middle of the night. So like they wake up, but I don't want to just like keep playing it. So just so they wake up and kind of look around and see me. Cause I just think like as soon as they see me, it'll be like a romantic, experience for them. And, like I see in all these romantic comedies, they'll just be like, "Oh my gosh, this guy was so committed. He
Right,
was willing to
right.
come sit outside my," yeah,
Right,
exactly.
yeah, exactly,
Right.
yeah.
Like Love Actually or something like that, Cause I
Befriend
most,
her dad.
yeah. Well, I mean, that's a good move, right? I think trying to befriend dads to get in with their daughters is really something that a lot of really smart guys do. Yeah.
They're like Benjamin Button's work backwards in time. So like, proposal or before proposal, ask dad for permission. So ask dad for permission first and then
Yeah.
go backwards.
Well, and then just think if you make friends with somebody, right? Like a guy, imagine how much more friends you'll be when you take his daughter off his hands, right? He's like, "Oh my gosh, I finally can get rid of this dead weight," So, I mean, it would be amazing, And I just think the friendship would go from like, 8 to 10 there with the guy. Just you can never get divorced.
Like
You're gonna lose.
10.3. Like
Yeah,
8
like
to
over. Well,
10.3.
10.3 is the kind of grade that wasn't available to white people when I was in school. So only Asians were able to get a 10.3 on the pre-calc. Actually, you guys weren't even in pre-calc. You were like in calculus.
That was third grade. Anyway.
Yeah, no, trust me, I know. I know.
Hank
Not fair.
arrives. Hank arrives at Bill's. Karen's all dolled up. Karen's like,
Yeah.
wow. Or Hank's like, wow. Then Bucket comes down. And it's curious because this is 2007 when this show came out. Hank bribes Becca with a cell phone. And Karen's like, I thought we agreed that wasn't going to happen. Hank was like, I changed my mind. 2007 is when the iPhone was released.
It wasn't an iPhone, right?
No, it was just those normal flip phones.
Yeah, it's just a crummy old cell phone like we used to have, right? That didn't have like GPS or anything on it,
No, I think it was a Nokia, so rest in peace, Nokia.
Yeah, goodbye. They got owned. I actually just saw one of those images where they show the share of like cell phone companies like from like 1990 or whatever to 2008, and it's crazy because like Apple's not there at all, and then it's all Apple. But actually, it's all, or I guess it's Apple's not even the biggest one anymore, right? Or are they still the biggest?
I think Samsung and Apple are
Okay.
chop chop. I
And
don't
then
know.
for operating system, Android is like twice as big, I think,
Really?
as Apple. Yeah, because there's so much, because everything's on Android. That's not Apple. But yeah, but Apple's obviously just ridiculous, and then Nokia's dead. So yeah, so Becca got a pretty busted phone, the kinds that our parents used to give us back in the day. And I wouldn't
Note
know.
to public, I bought my parents the cell phones and smartphones.
You're such a good son.
No, they
You know
never
that.
mention it. My dad never mentions it in the family
No, well, your dad isn't capable of crediting you with, any actually benefit to his existence. So, yeah. Hope you guys aren't watching out of this out there, mom and dad. So, hope this
They are
doesn't get back to
referenced,
you.
they exist.
Yeah,
So,
don't worry, your dad won't watch it.
of course. Well, no, he watches. He just hits the thumbs down and then leaves and then
Oh,
comes.
man, starts it up has been like, is Wayne talking about having a real job? Nope. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and put the thumbs down on this one.
Have a real job. I'm customer service at the Bicycle and Salt Casino. I was
Yeah, no, you're,
before
listen,
COVID.
you are a content creator, sir. Like, we are all, just trying to make things happen for ourselves, right? It's all gigs now, and this is our gig.
Hank, if
And
you
you're
listen to this, Hank Moody, if you listen to this, you got paid to blog for Helly Magazine. We are not getting
Yeah.
paid to do this.
No, and he was so bitter about that, right? He got
Yeah.
paid to blog. He talks about this a little bit later, right? But anyways, we'll get there. So he's back. Yeah, he's talking to Becca, right? He gives her a phone. She
Yeah.
changes on a dime, just like she did with the dog, right? She's all happy, da, 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 da. Then she asks him if
You have a
he
date?
says a date.
And he's like, yeah. And Becca's like, do you like her? And this is why I love Becca, because she's like, is she as cool as mom? And then
Yeah.
Hank's like, no one's as cool as mom.
Wayne, Becca's so good in these first four episodes compared to what happens. Like, you just would.
Fine.
Yeah.
I'm just
So.
gonna leave it up there, leave it up high. Becca, Becca,
Yeah.
you're
Right.
awesome.
Socially distanced high five to Becca. But. And then Hank says, nobody's as good as mom, right? And he's just. This is why he doesn't have Karen, because he puts her on a pedestal. And it's the only woman he puts on a pedestal, right? So that's the one that he's not going to be able to get, right? There's plenty of women out there as good as Karen. In fact,
Mia was on
we
his
have
pedestal.
what?
Mia was on his pedestal. Oh, wait, sorry. Anyway.
Ooh, oh God. Can we stop? I mean, can we just shut the podcast out right there for the day? All right. So yeah, he's had a lot of women. A lot of women are on his pedestal, but
Yeah.
he only puts one there. The rest of them, kind of climb on
Right.
it. So yeah, it's funny because the one you put on the pedestal is the one who's never getting on the pedestal. Okay, so yeah. So of course, another case of like serendipity or coincidence, and it's not really serendipity, but they're going to the same place, right? Notice, by the way, Hank actually shaved for this event.
I did not
I
realize
noticed that
that, yeah.
he wasn't clean shaven at the beginning of the episode, and he was in bed with Meredith, and then he is clean shaven when he goes to this event, which is pretty shocking, pretty surprising. Yeah, maybe. So yeah, you can take it away. We got I thought Charlie looked awful at the beginning of the scene. He was wearing like this white shirt, no tie, and the white shirt was like untucked underneath this thing. I thought he looked pretty bad, but then again, maybe his shirt was untucked because of whatever was happening with Danny before, they came to the event. Then he was kind of like awkwardly doing like a black handshake and a whole, like a whole series of gestures. And yeah, I mean, this is not a cool guy, is what it
So
is.
Runkle was talking with Carr, the director of the movie, Crazy Little Thing Called Love, which is supposedly a bad base on Hank's book, God Hates Us All.
Yeah.
And Hank's like, what are you doing? That's like my mortal enemy. And Runkle's like, I've been trying to sign this guy for years and you're not making me anything. I'm just a therapist for free.
Yeah. I mean, and note that I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead. I'm jumping ahead. I apologize. Continue on.
Oh, then they just, meet down in California and then, next,
Right. Right, and then it's on, right? Or am I getting things out of order?
I think it's that, no. This is
Well,
just
okay.
meat, I think, yeah.
Okay, so there was this weird spot where they had some. First of all, there was some more like inappropriate. Wait, hold on. We talked about the bathroom incident?
Not yet. That's next.
Oh, okay. So Danny California. Oh, Danny California comes out to the. She comes out to like the floor, right?
Yeah,
Okay, I am
says, what's
jumping ahead.
up?
Got it. I am jumping ahead. So nothing has really happened yet
Nothing. Now,
until Hank and Carr get into it in the
in the
bathroom, right?
bathroom, yeah.
Yeah, you take it away, Wayne.
So they meet in the bathroom. There's some good jabs and he's like, "Don't." Hank's like, "Let's not fight." When we have our cocks out, and like, Carr's like, "Yours out."
Yeah. Se second episode in a row, he's been slammed for his penis size. Really recurring theme here.
And basically, Carr, it's just. They talk about that Hank's been with Carr's wife, and then Carr's like, he wants to break up with his wife. And
Yeah.
then Hank's like,
Well, I mean, I obviously after what Hank told him, you would pretty much have to. Does say he'll never marry a he'll never get with a white woman again, right? Right, on, man. I feel you, 100%.
never happened, so I wouldn't know. Anyway, Hank was like, "Is she here?" And he's like, "Or break up here?" And he's like, "Yeah." And Hank's
Yeah,
like,
that would be really bad
"Uh-oh,
for Hank. Yeah.
uh-oh, oh no!" So they're back on the floor, and Hank and Karen needle each other with the "Shoulda, shouldn't have gotten married, but don't want to get married now. Definitely don't want to get married now."
Yeah, don't want to rehash this, but I mean, it's a bizarre fight to me that they're having. Maybe they've had this fight on and off for the last 12 years, but this was a couple that was together for 12 years. Still really think Karen is just using this as a defense mechanism to, give her the pass to cheat with Bill that she used, because it really, there is a shout out here to the Barstow In and Out, so appreciate that for those of you guys traveling between LA and Vegas.
Hank avoids, hides behind Karen, avoids getting seen by Carr's wife. Have
Yeah,
you
that was a
done that
pretty funny
before?
scene where Karen thought he was trying to like come in for some or something like that, and he was really just hiding himself. And then as soon as she was gone, he was like, "And I'm out," and she was left there kind of confused.
Then we're back at Runkle's office
Uh-oh, no, this isn't good.
with Danny California, who strips and puts a TPS report in her mouth and brings it to
A
Runkle.
TPS report. Yeah, that would be somehow awesome if they could like get that just like very,
Subtle.
very subtly at the top of the paper, and then you're able to see it. There is an incredibly funny line in this scene that I think is really easy to miss, which is
I think I missed it.
Runkle it was talking to Marcy. And Marcy at this time, what they've told us is that Marcy is waxing Angelina Jolie. Right, like that's why she had an emergency waxing with Angelina, and that's why she had to miss the party. And Runkle's kind of talking with her, and at one time he says, he says, "Well, yeah, well, that's one of the benefits of adoption." That is,
Wow, I
it's
missed it.
re it's really easy to miss that line because it actually you have to like take a second to really think about what they're talking about and what he's saying, right? But clearly, one of the benefits of adoption, as it relates to the nether regions being waxed, I think it's probably best left said as Runkle said it, which is that's one of the benefits of adoption. But yeah, very easy to miss that. Danny California, of course, is crawling over to him, and then we.
Shout out to Linkin Park. And then she says she's gonna do anything that Runkle says she
Yeah,
should do.
yeah. I mean, Runkle, he still doesn't get it, right? He still is not getting the whole Dom sub thing, right? And he's like, "What if you don't want to do what I tell you to do?" It's like, dude, like, get it. But also he should, what I mean, what he's doing is pretty bad. It's funny because didn't she get fired for like bringing him a Coke instead of a Diet Coke?
Yeah, something like that.
And so doing that gets you fired, but then sending a bunch of semi-nude pictures to your boss doesn't get you fired. Like, he's got it all wrong. The one of those is supposed to be, yeah, no, I understand. Look, I understand the real world. Sending semi-nude pictures to your boss will often not get you fired, especially when you're 22 and your boss is an old Jeff Bezos looking dude. I get it. So, I see what happens. I live in the
Damn.
world, but still, I mean, that should really get you fired. And that should be turned over to human resources, and human resources, not your friend. Right, but it nonetheless they need to get involved sometimes, I guess.
So yeah, back to the party. Hank and Meredith get introduced to a couple of colleagues. Oof.
Yeah, do we know what they do? Do we know what, well, we know what she does. Do we know what Jonathan does?
I don't know.
No. Yeah.
Anyway,
He just tries to sleep with anything that comes into his path.
they recognize Hank Moody as a writer, now blogger, and they can't wait to see Hank's next blog. Which he's like,
Yeah, well, because he thinks this is a huge decline, right? He thinks being a blogger is a loss. Of course, there are potentially things worse than being a blogger, like maybe writing Hollywood Trophy Clitlit Stank, as he calls what Nikki Mandel writes. I think that's her name. So
yeah, Nikki Mandel, who is also a writer. The wife knows that Nikki Mandel was the wife knows that Meredith and the husband are getting it on.
Here's one thing that really confused me, right? Hank does not realize right now that the guy, that Jonathan is married guy, even though he had run into them. I mean, I guess it's plausible that you could forget, but I don't think so. I mean, he had a decent conversation with the table at the guy, right? Remember when he said, hang out with your wang out? And I don't know, but he apparently has forgotten. We are supposed to accept the conceit that he's forgotten that that's married guy. So he, at this point, doesn't really realize why he's at the party yet. But yeah, then Nikki Mandel really comes on to him pretty strongly, right? She's like, if you know what I mean, it's like, it's hard not. This line actually could have been better, but he said it's hard not to know what you mean. But yeah, so here's another woman throwing herself at Hank, right? Which seems to be par for the course for his existence, except for the woman that he wants to throw herself at him. It's at this moment Hank realizes, I think, that he's being used, right?
Could be a lot of things.
Well, this is where
revenge, or you know, or yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he's being used for jealousy, right? Like, she's bringing him around because he's Hank Moody and he's like kind of a catch or whatever, and she's bringing him to this party. I mean, this explains why she went from the girl who just wanted to hang out at home to the girl who wanted to go to a, you know, a full-on cocktail party. So, but you know, here's the thing. People, like, in all of our interactions with people, we're using people to some extent, right? The question is always, are we using them for good, right? Or are we using them for bad? And you really shouldn't. Listen, there are people. So this is a pretty terrible thing that I did, I think, and I really missed. But I once actually did this when I was in graduate school. There was a girl at a party that I really liked who had rejected me, and I knew another really good looking girl, and I straight up asked her. I said, listen, will you go to this party with me to make this other girl jealous? And she was like, yeah, sure. What I didn't realize is, like, and I'm really just very stupid, like, she wouldn't have said yeah sure if she didn't, like, actually want to go to the party with me too. And then what I did at this party, like, I was really a jerk, man. I basically ignored the girl I brought to the party, like, the whole time. This is not one of my finest moments.
Okay.
And yeah, and then she got, like, really forward with me after the party, and I was, like, too stupid to even realize it. Like, it was like an hour after I got home, because she was like I was dropping her off at home, and she was like, you know, she's like, it's still pretty early, like, I'd really like to you know, she's like, the party was okay, but you know, I really like to, like, go out drinking or something like that. And I was like, yeah, I don't drink, bye. Like, you know, stupid.
I've done similar dumb things, and like this was at Blue Cafe by UCLA, and actually my college buddy Maria Ho was there and a couple other friends, and I was like spotting somebody, and I just, like, you know, I got a signal, I go over there, I'm like, can I buy you a drink? And she's like, I don't drink. And then I was like, oh, and I go back to my table, and then Maria and the other girls are like, why'd you offer her water? I was like,
what? No. I don't agree with them at all. I mean, I give you that girls know, so they obviously knew it was up. But
they,
like,
do.
If a girl doesn't drink and you offer to buy her a drink, then she'll say, you know, oh, well, I don't drink, but I'd love to get a water, or I'd love to get, you know, X or Y or Z. Like, they have to make some effort too. Like,
they were, trust me, they were right.
I believe you, but also this other girl, she didn't know what she was doing.
We were both just clueless, or just couldn't recover well.
Yeah. Well, you know what? One of my buddies just today, and this is pure coincidence from the, you know, the 106-year-old that I started, you know, emailing because of, you know, how desperate I've been. one of my buddies today got a letter in the
Power 106.
mail, got a letter in the mail from a girl that he, had hung around with like 20 years ago, professing like her undying love and like how much she's missed him over the past like 20 years, blah blah blah. And I mean, like, I don't know, man. I don't think you can ever win with this stuff, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think with especially in the internet era with people so accessible, it's like, yeah, this is just like not gonna go well. Because like
Don't think so.
back before like the internet, before there were cell phones, you just like block somebody, you just like never see them again. But the ability to just like track somebody down
Is what?
is easier nowadays. So like these things, there's like potentially no terminal point for many sides.
Right. No, I mean, I'm glad you can't see my computer right now because, I have like 25 tabs open of girls that I just refresh them every day to see if any new links come up to see if they've like moved or anything like that.
Relationship status change.
Yeah, you got to check their Facebook because you got to catch them when they're out of relationship status. That's when you have to go just plant yourself on their doorstep so they run into you,
Was
and then they
funny.
come home and you say, "I've been waiting here for 10 hours. Where have you been?" And then it honestly, they're just so relieved that somebody's there looking out for them that usually you end up getting dates out of that. Yeah.
Shout out to dates.
It's a juice, man. Like, people don't know the strategy. It's kind of like people want didn't know GTO poker strategy for a long time, right?
What's
Maybe they still
GTO?
don't, but what?
I'm
Yeah,
just
I don't
kidding.
know. No, GTO dating strategy is the camp out. Yeah. So where are we at with this episode here?
So now we're back at Bill's place, and Mia and Becca talk. And Becca says that she wants to be a 40-year-old virgin. Because once you get laid, your world turns to shit.
Becca is wise beyond her years.
Yeah, obviously, if you get pregnant, you gotta take care of that
Yeah, no, I mean,
thing, right?
everything's terrible, right? I mean, like, after you get laid, everything is awful. You might have a kid. Now you have to deal with like adult relationships. You have to deal with people being, people being, cuckoo, your own self being cuckoo and overcome by emotions in all sorts of spots. You have to deal with all the STIs. The ones people know, which you want me to list the ones people don't know, because there are a lot of them. And yeah, if you're gonna get them all, so it's tough. Becca's right, though. I mean, it definitely changes life a lot. And so I feel her for sure. And the consequences, of course, for a girl are, potentially so much worse, right? They can get pregnant, and that so much of the weight falls on them for having a baby and things like that. So. Yeah, she's right. This is a really touching scene here, I think.
Yeah,
Although,
I agree.
do you think that Tom wrote this scene?
When I started writing, and this is like very common with writers, but especially screenwriters, because you're forced to write dialogue of the opposite gender. Usually, like, it takes a lot of effort to learn how to even attempt to write the opposite gender, because it just like it's probably why like there's a lot of manic pixie girls in screenwriting, which is just
There's
like
a lot of manic pixie.
pixie girls, which is basically the girls just there as an object of affection and like
You
for
mean in the text, in the film or
in
the
the
work?
movie.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. I thought you were talking about the actual screenwriters.
No, it's usually and it's possibly, no, I shouldn't say usually, it's possibly an effect that like they just don't really know how to write the opposite gender in a reasonable character. So
Well, they're writing what they know or what they would like or what they would want, right? And so I would think you would have to run scenes involving, I don't know for sure because, but where do we get our knowledge of how two teenage girls or, one teenage and one almost teenage girl would have a conversation? The only place we get our knowledge from that is essentially through other media, right? I mean, really, that's where you and I learn about that stuff is watching Californication, and I can't for sure say whether that's a valid source or not for how the talk actually takes place. So
Usually, like it's like one, it's like a fictitious thing in your head, and then of how things should go down. Then you have some like real life experience, and you start cloning real life experience. But then when you're writing, especially something fantastical, writing about real life is like doomed for failure because people are reading your material not to go through real life. Because like Californication is real life because it's like a documentary. So And then you just manifest a fantastical world that's a spin-off of reality
Right.
versus your
Which I
own.
mean, maybe that often makes for a better, show or TV
Sure.
or whatever than real existence, but it's not the same thing. And nonetheless, we do actually do a fair amount of learning from, watching TV, and that stuff, may not be accurate in the way that we view the world. I mean, listen, we view the world often through the lens of like a romantic comedy where, I was I you know I have a very, dark sense of humor, and I'm clearly make I hope I'm clearly making jokes about, camping out on people's doorsteps waiting for them to get back. That's incredibly creepy and not okay. But like, we actually learn stupid stuff like this from like romantic comedies where like a guy will like camp out in a yard and like play a violin for a girl who's like in her room for like 12 hours until she finally, opens the window and comes out and says, eventually it's like, oh, okay, I can't believe how committed you are. Like, I really love you. Like, we learned some straight up
Oops.
garbage.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I mean, it's tough, I don't wanna, but yeah, this was it was a really touching scene. Mia is like, Mia basically hits the nail on the head when she says it's like sex is like good, bad, weird, powerful, right? Like that's it. Yeah.
And Becca says, Karen really likes me, and Mia's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, well, no, here Mia, I mean, I don't know if Mia really takes that, but Mia is here. Mia's oddly human in this scene, right? And she's really not human in very many other scenes. She doesn't seem like a little baby narcissist here. She doesn't seem like a sociopath in this scene.
And Mia, like Mia says, she likes Karen, just not in the same way. And Mia asks if Becca likes Bill, and Mia says, Bill's nice, but not, like Hank. And Becca's lucky to have Hank. And then Becca's like,
Yeah.
so.
No, you asked me what Mia wanted out of Hank, right? And I think you feel like Mia is purely transactional with Hank. Is that like what she's trying to do is get some kind of fame, some kind of status?
I think, yeah, the professional respect that Hank has, Mia wants. And it's I feel like Mia and Karen want opposite sides of Hank's like mind, I guess.
Yeah, well, you talked about how Mia wants the finished product,
Yeah.
right?
Wants
And
the finished product to adore her.
Right.
Or, her to have that kind of semblance of a finished product.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think this scene, to me, this scene is really kind of a tell. I mean, I think Mia, I mean, Mia seems to me to be actually in love with Hank, in this scene. Like, she's definitely jealous of Becca for having a dad like Hank. She and Bill, we don't know Bill all that well. We don't know Bill as well as we like Hank. And quite frankly, Hank is kind of a fuck up, but he's a good dad. Like, he's not a bad dad. He clearly, takes part in his daughter's life. He usually treats her like kind of an adult, although he has some weird hang ups,
I
but
think
like
one.
Bill seems okay. Like, but he's not Hank.
I think from there's this dichotomy of just like Bill's like this like rational, level-headed person, and Mia's like emotional, and Becca's this rational, level-headed person, and Hank's like overly emotional, so.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that there's something. Hank is definitely unpredictable, right? And he's Bill is very, very predictable, right? He's very, very solid, but he's very, very predictable. And
Solid.
that's yeah, solid. Well, solid can be good in some ways, but solid is always going to run the risk of having somebody think you're a little bit too solid. So.
So, yeah, I mean, let's see where we at. Oh, yeah. So someone runs into Karen at the party and spills wine in her, and then calls her the C word, and then Karen asks him, like, what? And then he repeats it, and then she shoves him all in. And did you have any insight on this actor?
Well, yeah, so he's not a very well-known actor, and it actually seems like he might just be like a friend of David Duchovny somehow, because he also appeared in Aquarius. That was like one of his few credits. But you'll be pretty excited to hear this, Wayne. His name is John Scarangello, Scarangello.
Okay.
And the role he plays in this episode is, the title of his character is Hollywood Jerk, which is pretty appropriate. And but the exciting thing for you, Wayne, is this dude once responded to a tweet by Live at the Bike very recently in this year.
Show.
He responded to a tweet by Live at the Bike. You tweeted something about Governor Newsom closing down card rooms, right? Which, by the way, card rooms should be opening again soon. They'll be opening outdoors. The Bicycle Casino would appreciate your business. Wear a mask, please. So yeah, that's, I mean, you have a connection to this guy. And the
Sick.
reason I found that out was because maybe it's just because I've seen Californication before, but I really feel like I've seen this guy before. Like, and I couldn't place it in like a show, and he really hasn't done too much work in acting. And so I looked him up, and that's how I found that he tweeted that he tweet responded to the Live at the Bike.
Well, mister, if you're out there and you play poker, which it sounds like you do because you respond to Live of the Bike, come on Live of the Bike so we could say an actor from Californication
Yeah, I
played
mean,
Live
why
of
don't you do this? Why don't you put in the description of this episode the name John Scarangelo, which I'm pretty sure that guy's gonna Google himself fairly often, and he'll find the episode, and then he'll come see it, and then from there it's just gonna be legend. I mean, we're gonna have this guy playing heads up with Garrett,
Mm.
on Live at the Bike. I'd say within, 6 months. I really think this is happening.
Sounds good.
Yeah, outrageous scene. Karen is actually, I mean, he falls and he spills, and Karen's actually like really chill about it. She has like this very, very like charming smile, and she's kind of like upbraiding him a little bit. She's like, well, you could have watched where you're going, but it's very nice. It's like a really tame kind of call out. Like, she's not being mean at all, and this guy decides to take it to level 100, right? He's like, I mean, I guess at least he didn't like pull out a gun, but he did drop some C bombs, and that's taking it to a pretty high level. Multiple C bombs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two
Good job,
times.
buddy.
Run it twice.
Yeah.
And Bill comes and this guy gets off by misquoting what happened. And Karen's like, what? That's not what happened. So
Yeah.
obviously,
Yeah.
this is.
Really bad job by Bill here. Really disappointing. Bill needed to come in. I mean, could you imagine? Here's the thing. If I'm Karen, I'm pretty devastated by the idea that somebody would even believe this guy that he's lying. And
Right.
look, Bill is like, he's got business interests and stuff like that, and so there's all that kind of stuff at play. But
Yeah.
quite frankly, with this kind of behavior, right, with somebody who's like clearly, hopefully drunk, and is dropping C bombs on somebody for really, very little reason, right? And is doing that guy needs to go, right? And Bill needs to sack up here and kick this dude out. Like, for him to try and like play peacekeeper, like, sometimes, listen, peacekeeper is good, and like de-escalating things is good, where it can be applied, but it's not always the right way to handle things. Like, sometimes people just need to go, and you just need to accept that, your business interests be damned. Like, this guy cannot act like that. Like, you have to draw a line and say, we have this problem at the casino all the time. Like, there are people who get a really long leash. And like, there are some really ridiculous live pokers. A huge majority of people are great, but they're the worst people just push everyone's buttons at the tables. They say really inappropriate things. And frankly, I wish they got kicked out, but this is not a bicycle specific thing. This is just a live poker thing. Every casino tries to keep them around as much as they can. They give them such a long leash because they want their business, but they make the rest of us suffer. And you can't let this guy stick around. He's got to go. What you take it away.
Well said. Yeah, then back in Runkle's office, as he's taking pics of Danny California in the G-string on top of his desk, and what would happen if this show was like, came out in 2020? What do you think would happen?
I still think it could. I mean, I, the, of this particular scene, I think could. There, I don't think we have, I don't think we're moving entirely past workplace. Sex and infidelity drama, and power plays and things like that between bosses and subordinates. So I think it could happen in 2020. I think you could still show this scene in 2020. What do you think?
I think that if you're correct, Tom Capinas, if you're listening, please start to show up again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, start the show. Well, here's the thing. If you are looking for actors, I would be willing to put on lingerie and crawl to Wayne in a computer chair. Like, I'm pretty much willing to do anything to get a job at this point. Like even podcast about 13-year-old TV shows. So the just please, right? If Tom, if you have any thoughts of making a show, like I'm really willing to do whatever. There's no bottom. I'm willing to bottom. So yeah.
Hank, when
I don't think he's gonna be remaking Californication. But we should talk about who would star in it if you made Californication in 2020. I don't know if we should do that right now. Let's hold that off though. Let's think about it a little bit. Let's make that a project for the next podcast so we have a little bit of time to think about who, if we were recasting the show now in 2020, who
recasting. I wasn't
recasting,
thinking of
yeah.
reboot, I was thinking of continuation.
Have you seen pictures of Duchovny lately?
It's real life, man.
Also, he's dating a girl in her 20s, I think, so Karen's definitely too old for him now. But I guess he could play a role. He's an actor, right? He could play a
Exactly,
role.
exactly.
Even
X-Files.
though I feel like David Duchovny mostly plays himself, but yeah, you know.
Anyway, Hank walks in on them, and Danny California goes out, grabs some water,
Oh,
and
he
then
tells her to go get some water. Yeah.
yeah.
He calls Charlie a big fat cliche. Charlie says she started it. It's like, dude, like, nah. I mean, okay, but it takes two to tango. He says, I got carried away. Right? Hank calls him out, slaps him. Charlie needs his inhaler. He doesn't even, yeah. But
Right.
one thing I will say, Charlie does say, like, he doesn't even know what happened, right? He's like, I just got carried away. I don't even know what happened. That shit is real, right? Like, I understand that. And, when you're a guy, look, it's not all that common for most guys that women come on to us in a really forward manner. And so when they do, it's really tough to pass up, no matter what situation you're in. Like, there are a lot of guys who won't actively go seek to engage in, relationships outside of their main relationship, but when it falls in their lap, they absolutely will. And one of the places that it falls in their lap is work and things like that. So I definitely understood this line where he was like, I don't even know what happened, right? That was real. But it's still his fault. I mean,
Yeah,
he's got to
definitely.
take responsibility for it. But and he made a choice on some level, right? If humans are capable of making choices, but he did make a choice. He easily could have sent her home after she sent the first set of pictures, which was quite inappropriate.
Then Hank drinks the water and Runkle gets the seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, oops. Oh, oops. Just
Yeah, and
kidding.
then also when in the next scene Hank is going to hand Meredith a bottle of water and it's full. And it does I didn't know, it seemed like it was the same bottle of water. I'm pretty sure I just caught a flaw in Californication. So but yeah, this is where I mentioned last episode, I think, where Hank is going to become, like you said, Charlie is Hank's therapist, but like Hank is also Charlie's therapist.
Oh yeah. Co-therapy. So
Yeah, no,
Hank
that.
slaps Runkle on the head. He's WTF, he's get his stuff together, for Marcy. And then Hank says, maybe you could talk to Marcy, maybe he could flop a set or something.
Yeah, well, what you mean he only has a 20% chance of, like a 13% chance, or what is it, 15% chance, 14 point
One out of
something,
seven point
15,
five.
15.3, whatever. So, it's, I never flop a set, so I just, decided not to even bother to memorize odds anymore. So, he has a better chance of getting it to work out like that, right? Because, Hank says Marcy is nothing if not a dirty little girl, so maybe he can work it out. Yeah.
Then back to the bar, Meredith is drinking and Hank intercepts and she asks Hank if he loves her. And Hank's like, I've grown very fond of you.
Yeah. That was, I mean, she's really drunk. She's really drunk. So what, this stuff is, I don't think it really counts. She's off a rocker.
Hank confronts the husband. Husband, Hank is like, oh, you shouldn't, lead a girl on in her prime years, blah,
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Hank the White Knight. Yeah.
blah,
Interesting.
blah. Shout out to White Knights. Then the husband
Shout out to White Castle,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to White Castle
Shout out to Harold
and
Kumar.
Kumar. Yeah,
Shout out to
husband
Sliders.
claims that, and Neil Patrick Harris, husband claims that she says Hank is just there to pass the time and he's a
Yeah.
fucking loser, which is like, oh,
Yeah.
it's
That
home.
stings. Don't know if it's true or not, but it's definitely the way that you can hurt someone,
Right.
right? But at the same time, this is a little bit of, to me, this is, just medicine for Hank because, Hank in the previous episode had pulled that thing on Carr where he told Carr that he cheated on his wife, or, he cheated with his wife, sorry, in right in front of a million people at a, some kind of book signing, book speech, right? Book presentation. So, yeah, I mean, he deserves a call out for sure.
Hank puts drunken Meredith in the porch, and Karen confronts Hank.
Well, don't forget the drink throwing, right? There's this great scene where the car's wife tries to throw a drink on Hank and then misses,
Oh,
and
my bad.
it goes on Jonathan. He also deserves it, right? But yeah, then this is the big scene of the episode
Ooh, the
right here.
dude that calls her a C word, the one that referenced the actor that, respond to Live the Bike Twitter,
Yeah.
comes and taunts Karen again, and then
Yep.
Hank socks him in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, he comes in and says, "See you next Tuesday." This guy just can't let it go, right? Like, he got away with it once, he can't let it go. And Hank, remember in the last episode when he has to right the wrong, the Cat Stevens wrong, right? When he has to go in. This is Hank again with his own moral code, right? See, that's the thing. Hank does have a moral code, right? He has a moral code that says it's okay to have fun. Right, it's okay to hang out and date and sleep with a lot of people, but his moral code says you don't waste the years of a woman's prime, which, I mean, that's a little bit problematic, right? Because that's ultimately their decision to make, not Hank's. But he has his own moral code here, right? This guy said, he called Karen a cunt like 3 times, right, at this point, and now Bill didn't do anything about it. Bill failed. This is Bill failing and Hank stepping up because he did the right thing here in punching this guy out, right? I think that's how we're supposed to see it, right? I mean, you're not really supposed to ever assault people, but he did the right thing. Unlike the older professor who, slapped me down at a party, right? She did not do the right thing. She did not have a good reason for doing that. But in this case, Hank did the right thing.
She did. You were the one.
Perhaps I'll tell this story on a later episode, but there was something weird going on in her head that certainly was not happening, but it's a very strange bird. I'll tell it later. I'll tease you guys. You guys have to watch every episode. I'll tell it some episode, not gonna tell you when. So.
Hank brings Meredith home, and then with Becca to her new cell, Becca calls Hank and has the soul read that Hank couldn't sleep. Becca reminds Hank used to look at the ocean and count the mermaids to help Becca
Yeah.
sleep, and then she recommends that Hank do it. And this is
Yeah.
a very nice and sweet scene, which is, again, I hope Becca doesn't go downhill, but sounds like you know that she is.
Well, I don't want to say downhill. I think she just becomes, look, right now she's pet Becca is at like she's at peak cuteness, and she's here's the thing. It's kind of real life. She's not actually a teenager yet. She's 12. She becomes a hellspawn as a teenager. That's a pretty common thing. So,
Okay, that's fair.
it's yeah. I mean, she's right now. She's 12, and her parents are. I know it's technically not divorced, but they're divorcing, and that's messed up, and that's difficult to. That's really difficult to deal with. So I will say this: this is something that's great about doing a rewatch. Is I've now thought about the end of the first 4 episodes, and the end of the first 2 episodes are basically Hank. In one, just kind of out in the backyard thinking by himself, another one kind of walking away, kind of pensive, thinking about by himself. The end of the third episode is Hank having nostalgia and remembering like his family at the beach, and specifically, he's actually again kind of thinking, but like Becca is part of the scene. And now you have this fourth episode where Hank is sitting in his own chair alone, right, at his own house alone, outside thinking, right, but he's doing it with Becca, right, in the And again, kind of like the third episode, right? He's reconnecting with, he's reconnecting with his child, right? And they're bringing back the past, right? In the third episode, it was just Hank thinking about it. Now Becca's actually taking part in it, right? It's like, they're playing children's games, right? You read, count the mermaids, right? Things like that. So every episode of Californication up to this point has ended with a thoughtful Hank, right? Hank at a loss, right? Hank losing his family, right? Hank, you know, thinking about his family, Hank reconnecting with his family and things like that. So that's the biggest thing that's going on kind of in the show, and they want to remind us that at the end of every episode.
And one, like, brutal thing too is, like, the game is count the mermaids before you fall asleep. So they're counting, like, 1, 2, 3. Oh, no, that's a sea lion. 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
No, it's a bum. So, like, the fantasy is interrupted by something that's real. The fantasy counting. So
That's a really good point. Okay, so I have to say, I missed the very last line. Did he actually say that's a bum?
Yeah. After six, it's a bum.
Yeah, wow, that's a pretty surprising line. But it is true, right? Fantasy, you know, the best laid plans sometimes get interrupted by reality and what's happening. Sea lion, of course, is not super uncomfortable reality, but the existence of a bum when you're trying to go to sleep is you know, uncomfortable. I mean, how dare bums show up, you know, in places that I want to be, right? No? Okay.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's Californication.
Yeah. So really the big thing of the episode, Bill is such a small part of this episode, but I really think the big part of this episode is Hank stepping up where Bill failed, and Bill just not doing the right thing when it came to the guy, to kicking the guy out. Like, you gotta stand up. It's not just standing up for, like, your soon to be wife, because I don't think that you should stand up for people blindly in general. I mean, there are certain times where you have to kind of play act that you're standing up when emotions are high and you can't really talk people down at a moment, and you have to try and kind of get in there and calm things down. But there are times where you absolutely have to stand up for people. And if, you know, if somebody like Karen, right? I mean, Karen, she might invite a lot of drama, but there's no chance she's going to make that story up. Like, I can't even imagine a situation where somebody would make that story up in the context of where they're at that time. And I don't even need to hear anything else. If I hear somebody called you, like, the C word, it's like, yo, you're gone, right? Like, get out of here, dude. Like, that's just, you're too drunk to be here, right? Like, we need to get you out of this place, right? Call your car, right? Go drive your car home and drive off the PCH or something like that, you know? Whatever. That's foreshadowing.
All right, any closing words, shout-outs to anyone?
No, do we have anyone who we have to shout out?
I like to shout out the Bicycle Hotel and Casino if you have jobs open, you know, or available.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, they should have some. Shout-out to Annie, shout-out to Annie Lou and John Ng, and, you know, we love you guys. We hope to work with you soon. Who else you want to shout-out? We can shout-out some other people. I mean, people that no one knows. Shout-out to Daryl, Steve, Katie, Cesar.
Crew.
Yeah. Right, you know, all the bike regulars.
Yeah,
yeah. You know,
Brian,
Wayne, I thought of a really good idea for a show today. You should do a show with the worst players who have played at Live at the Bike, but you shouldn't do a show like you
should.
Should
I do a solo show?
Yes, but that's a great joke. But a solo show wouldn't work because, well, actually, it would, because you actually, that's a good point. How are you self-aware enough to realize you're the worst player who's ever alive at the bike? How's that thing?
Just know.
I'm
the
so
chat,
confused.
Because the chat,
oh, the
says
chat
so.
The chat lets you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the chat lets you know for sure. Yeah.
The chat pros.
Wayne, you're awful. Yeah.
I love the chat
so,
pros.
Oh, man. See, that's another spot where, you know, you've told me, like, some people just have to be banned, right? Like, some people just say words that are so inappropriate on the chat because it's the internet and they feel like they can, and they just got to go because they're making the situation uncomfortable for everyone.
It's funny because, like, a lot of the, you know, the guy that's called Karen the C word
yeah.
You know, the husband that with the toxicity towards Hank, that's like kind of like what the internet comments do or Twitter, you know, just like,
man,
anyway.
That's really sad because I've been told that the internet is like fake and that it's not a representation of real life and that people are out of control, but if people are really acting that way in real life, that's pretty awful. You know, and sadly, it does seem like people are acting that way in real life more and more. And by the way, you know, story that broke today is that women in, you know, immigrant concentration camps in the U.S. are being given forced hysterectomies.
What?
So,
what is that?
Yeah. No, that's some Nazi bullshit right there. Seems like it is almost unthinkable, and yet here we are, as so much has really happened in our society lately. So it turns out people who are acting in real life like they are on the internet, particularly the president's internet persona, doesn't seem to be much different than his real life persona, and it is spectacularly spooky. So yeah, if you guys get a chance, I don't want to turn off any of our conservative listeners. Yeah, I'm lying. I totally do, James Woods. You don't have to watch this. And yeah,
I won't send it to him.
Vermont. Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't. I mean, if you know what the wild thing is? If you send this to James Woods, he might tweet like all kinds of really bad stuff about us, and that might bring a lot of viewers to the show. Like,
He
all
likes me.
publicity, all publicity. Well, he won't like you. He won't like you after he hears the show. So if
I say
you're
it's good stuff. Yeah, the guy went to MIT. There's nothing bad to say about
Yeah, I mean,
it. Just kidding.
sure. Okay, so I get the line that you're trying to, kind of walk on, the tightrope that you're trying to walk on. I appreciate that. But yeah, if you send it to him, he might get really angry and he might rage tweet. I don't even know. He might be banned from Twitter now. But
Maybe.
I don't know. He gets kicked off every once in a while for, something completely heinous and offensive. So yeah, very strange dude. I could actually see him. I could totally see him being in the show, too. I mean, he's not. He maybe isn't as smooth as Duchovny.
Lou
He's,
from season two? I'm just kidding.
no, it's interesting because Lou is so perfectly cast. I mean, like, I just, oh, it's so tough for me to see. I mean, it always is tough for you to see people, like it always feels like people are perfectly cast once you get used to them as the character.
Yeah.
But yeah,
And they get better too.
could James Woods play Lou? Oh, that's interesting.
Freeze that thought, and then audience, can you play Lou?
Next
So,
episode we're gonna do next episode we're gonna try and talk about
recasting.
recasting. We're gonna talk about Wayne. Wayne and I are going to independently come up with
I could be Hank Moody.
Yeah, that's the recast, right? Yeah. Yeah, I'm
Boom.
glad I quit. Yeah.
Showtime. Showtime. I'm up
I'm
for it.
yeah,
I need a job.
I mean, Wayne's actual life, you guys don't know this because Wayne plays a character on, the podcast and Live at the Bike. Wayne's actual life is really a lot like Hank Moody's life. He doesn't want to share a lot of the things because he really genuinely has a lot of respect for the various women that he hangs out with. And he doesn't want to put them out there, right? Because he has so much respect. But Wayne's actual life is a lot like is a lot like Hank Moody's life. And then
Got the
also
failed writer part right.
that's right. And that's we figure if you got the first part right, then everything else is gonna fall
Everything
into
else,
place,
right?
right? Yeah. So yeah, let me know when you're the failed writer who is performing at who's giving a talk about your book that's on display at Book Soup. And once you get there, then we'll know that your life is ready to fall into the thing we place. I mean, Hank Moody, David Duchovny was like 47 when this series started. So there's still time for us. There's still
I
time.
keep
We
telling
can
them.
yeah, we can still make it.
Smash that thumbs up, hit subscribe, and we'll be back with episode
Hit up our Patreon
five.
too, and send cash to me personally. Thanks, bye.
All right.